Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, I hope that the Master Gardeners had a great turnout at the rose pruning demonstration last week at the Municipal Rose Garden. And in case maybe people weren't able to head on out there last Saturday, there are still community volunteers that are welcome to join the Master Gardeners in their weekly pruning, correct?
Yes, the Master Gardeners are still continuing to be out there finishing up those 1,400 rose bushes. So stop by any weekday morning and visit with them, ask them questions. If you're interested in being a volunteer, you can also just kind of jump in and be a community citizen volunteer at the Rose Garden. And definitely if you have any rose bushes, we always consider Valentine's Day that perfect window to have it done by then. So your roses will definitely thank you for that. And don't forget to stop by, visit the Master Gardeners. And also their help desk is going to be opening up here pretty soon as well, later on this month. As those questions start coming in, as our garden starts awakening, you can definitely give them a call and ask them some questions.
Well, rose pruning is one of the gardening tips that we have for you for the month of February. That's, I think, one of the big tips that we have. And I've posted on the Good to Grow page some pretty helpful links to, I think it's a document that you guys have on the Master Gardener page that has good rose pruning information there. And so I believe it's linked to last Saturday's show that
right.
we did with Jan.
Yes.
So people can go there for more information. And of course, the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension is still accepting calls and are happy to answer any of your questions.
Right, exactly. Give us a call.
So February, you know, it's still kind of cold. It's kind of warm. The weather's still kind of weird, but our gardens aren't quite awake. But there's a lot of things that we can do to start planning for our garden. Like, for example, if you don't already have established roses, this is a great time to go out and look for some.
Right, exactly. Go ahead and choose those roses that are in their own root system. They're much better to be able to acclimate to a transplanting shock when you get them into the ground. But if the only selection that you see, that you have, that you're dying to have is going to be a bare root rose, you want to make sure that you treat it a little extra special before you plant it into the ground. And that involves removing that plastic covering that's covering all of the roots on that bare root rose and soaking it in water. And that's really going to remove that outer waxy covering that they put on there to kind of keep the plant being dehydrated in transport and shipping. So kind of put that in the warm water, let that waxy coating to dissolve, and then you can go ahead and move that and plant that into a hole that you've dug. Don't feel that you really need to dig a really big hole. It has to be at the same level as it is in the container itself. So make sure that it's wide enough, but not necessarily just deep enough.
If you get a bare root rose, there's an indication there of how deep you should plant the rose?
Yeah, a lot of the bare root roses have been grafted, so you'll actually see where that joint is made, where the graft was made initially in the nursery. So that's a really good indicator to make sure that it's at that level.
And if you were to go to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, we did a great show on the different types of roses available with Jan Petterzelka. And so you're welcome to go over there and listen and learn a little bit more about the different types of roses that are available for you. Well, another thing that is probably on our minds is we still can add some color to our landscape with cool season annuals. And granted, they're annuals, which means they're not going to last forever. They're not going to come back year after year, but they're great for a pop of color. And so what are some great cool season annuals we can look for right now?
Well, one of our really popular ones that we always see in the garden centers are the pansies or the Johnny Jump-Ups. Those are violas as well. Snapdragons also really make a great spring and cool season crop. And then also you can look at larkspurs and alyssum. I remember larkspurs, they'll self-seed some of them. And I remember always looking at my grandfather's lawn. He used to have larkspur growing in one of the beds, and it always kind of like take over. And if you look really close, the eye or the center of the larkspur almost looks like the little shape of a little bunny.
Oh.
It's really interesting. So it always reminds me of that. So whenever
he spent a lot of time out in his yard.
No, that was me as a kid. I would always like look. It's like a little bunny. Like it was really cute. So, anyways, I always see them, especially around like the Manhattan Heights area. You'll see a lot of larkspur growing on there. So it's kind of reminiscent of my childhood. But, anyways, cool seeds and flowers. You really need to concentrate where you're going to put them. So a window box, a nice little patio container into your entranceway. Somewhere where you're really going to see them. I mean, don't plant them far away where you have to like take out your binoculars to be able to see them from your window in your kitchen. So high traffic areas, that pop of color, you know, snapdragons are really great too. They give you that height to any kind of container garden as well. So definitely some color in for this kind of dreary slash transition time that we're going to start going into.
Yeah, especially if you've had maybe something in your containers, your patio containers that maybe didn't make it through the summer months. You can put something in there temporarily there just to give yourself something nice to look at when you look out the window.
Right.
Well, it's also time to maybe start perusing your seed catalogs to start looking for seeds of warm season vegetables. I know you've got your catalog right here. Nobody can see it because we're on the radio.
Right.
But it's open right now and you were showing me some great tomatoes on it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So it's probably one out of 20 that I have of seed catalogs that I get all over at home and at work. But definitely gardeners have a lot of those available to them. If you want to get on the list, just go online and you can subscribe to get a hard copy of a catalog. I'm kind of old fashioned in that respect that I like to look through a catalog as I'm going to buy it, especially when it comes to seeds. So definitely if you're thinking about a summer vegetable garden or any kind of summer garden, go ahead and pull those out and see exactly what is out there. A lot of the larger seed companies will put out new vegetables or new flowers every year. So kind of keep that up. So that's always something new if you feel like you're a seasoned vegetable gardener. Try for something new as well. But it also really importantly to look at the catalog because it gives you a lot of information on that. It's not just on how to purchase it. It gives you also how many days to harvest. That means that once you put that seed in the ground, you start the clock. And then whether it's in 60, 70, 90 days or whatever is indicated on that little paragraph or that specific plant is when it'll be ready for maturity to be ready to be harvested. So that's a really great information that you have on there. It also lists if it's resistant to any kind of pest or diseases on there. So if you're in an area that you know that maybe you have some nematode issues going on, you want to make sure that you plant those varieties that are resistant to that. So it's very helpful on there. It also it indicates how much sun they should be able to take if it's a case of annuals, kind of, you know, use that and, you know, circle it and play around with that and see what's going on. So, yeah, seed catalogs, now's your time. You're going to get your shipment and then those little packets are going to be antsy to get into the bed.
And I think the nice thing about seed catalogs is you get so much more variety than those little stands that you see, you know, in some of the supermarkets or some of the home improvement stores. You get a lot more variety.
Right, exactly. And impulse buying is
dangerous.
Can be dangerous to some people. So, yeah, all the gardeners that I know have all their seed catalogs, you know, earmarked and penciled and circled and all that. So it gives you some time to think about what exactly you're looking for.
And also gives you time to prep your soil because, of course, we do want to encourage, you know, composting, getting that soil ready before you put those seeds in the ground. And we're thinking about maybe sowing some of these vegetable seeds indoors first, right?
Right, exactly. Especially in the case of tomato plants and chili plants, you want to make sure that they are in planted about 4 to 6 weeks before the last frost, before you get into the ground. So if you make sure that you pick a sunny location, a sunny window sill in your house. If you have a small pop-up greenhouse in your backyard, you could use, you know, that as long as you have some heating on there. One really great way to get extra light is if you use your refrigerator and put some seed trays on top of your fridge because you essentially get that heat coming from the appliance unit coming up. And the higher that it is, hopefully you either have a skylight or you have some nice window there so it can get some nice light from your sources on there. So think about that. Tomato plants, you don't ever want to go and sprinkle those out into your garden. Your plants will never become established. So you either need to buy or start your seedlings at home.
And usually the time to start buying your tomato seedlings doesn't come until a few months from now.
Yeah, exactly. So we really look at planting our tomato plants by the end of March. So March 30th is going to be really that, you know, now or never window on that. You can always plant it a couple of weeks beforehand. Your plants will become a little bit more established earlier on. It's just that we need to have enough time for them to sit in the garden to be able to grow roots and shoots so that before that summer heat sets in, they can get some nice fruit set on there.
Well, the cold weather also is encouraging for people who want to do some last-minute pruning in case maybe people didn't get a chance to do any pruning back in December or November. There's still time to do it before your trees go to bud, right?
Yeah, definitely. It takes so much energy for a tree to start budding out. And the last thing you want to do is inflict a pruning cut or some other stress on there when it's trying to get all that energy into bud break. So you definitely want to make sure that you get that done now. Don't worry, you know, if you missed your window, it's okay. You know, just let it go. It's just better than doing it too late.
Yeah, and of course, pruning is great all year round. If you need to remove, you know, a damaged or diseased limb, or if it's causing some sort of a hazard, of course, you don't want to wait to get rid of that branch.
Exactly, exactly. Human property and pet safety is our number one concern on that. So definitely, if you feel like you missed it, it's okay. Don't worry about it. But that stuff, if it's dead, take it out. I mean, no sense to put anybody in danger.
I don't know, a lot of ornamental grasses, I see those around. They looked great, you know, right before the winter, especially some of those beautiful purpley muley grasses.
Right.
And it's time to cut those back, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. So we really want to leave those on for the really deep part of the winter. You know, we never know what to expect. We had a kind of a late onset of a winter this year. So the same thing, any of my ornamental grasses or the bush lantana, I let them sit. But definitely right now, you know, now that we're in February, you want to make sure that you want to start giving them a little cut to be able to start, you know, all that new growth is going to come from the crown or the base of the plant. So by giving them a little cut back on that, you're allowing them to kind of fill up that little area there. So,
and if you've got older ornamental grasses, you're going to see it's going to start looking kind of weird, right? That's why we encourage people to divide those plants down the road. If you've got a young ornamental grass, I think it's okay. But if you've got one, I think it's dead in the middle and it sort of grows more from the outer part.
Right, exactly. So it kind of looks like a bald head.
Yeah.
When people only have, I'm sorry. I just have to got to make it visualize to people, right? So like, if you're like, you're bald in the middle, but then you have like some hair around the crown right above your ears, that's what it looks like. Definitely want to make sure that you definitely divide those clumps of grass. Don't be afraid to get in there with your shovel and cut it up. You know, you want to make sure that you have a nice little base of shoots and roots attached to it, and then you can definitely take that to start a new bundle of grass. I'm sorry, Norma, I made you.
No, that's okay. It's all right. We don't mean to embarrass our bald listeners.
No, I'm just trying to paint a picture.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time for our February tips, but we will have these posted on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We also encourage our listeners to visit the Master Gardeners online, where they have all their monthly tips available as well. And we're going to go ahead and put a link to that on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And if you have any questions for Master Gardeners, go ahead and leave your message with the AgriLife extension. That number is 771-2354, 771-2354. And again, you can always check our website for a lot of helpful links on gardening in the region. We want to thank Lauren Terrazas and Evan Walsh for engineering today's show, and Evan for producing it. And we want to thank you for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.